God, welcome everybody. This is Living the Good Life, brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday live at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with a little frog in my throat this morning or this afternoon, but that's all right. We're going to be good. So if my voice cracks, that's just part of it here. I've been preaching my lungs out today, Connie. So yeah, we had church.
We had church this morning.
Yes. Praise God. We're so glad you have tuned in to join us today on Living the Good Life. We love coming to you each week and bringing you the good news of the gospel and what God is doing in our lives. And always our goal is to encourage you in the Word of God, to cause you to take a look at some spiritual matters in your life and grow a little bit and get closer to God and always to give you hope for your future. We love that verse in Jeremiah that says that God has a plan for your life, plan to bring you a future and a hope and a plan to prosper you. That's Jeremiah 29:11. And actually our radio broadcast, Living the Good Life, is based on that very verse, that God has a plan for your life. And we reiterate that concept today as we begin this new broadcast and at the very end of March of 2008. And Connie just gave me our little sheet here that says this is our 51st broadcast live with you here on 10 Talk Radio. And so we're excited about that. Today, we're going to be encouraged in God's Word. We are going to talk about one of the attributes of Jesus. We have been studying the book of John at Beacon of Hope for the last couple months. And, you know, I started out thinking I'm going to teach it in about three or four weeks. And it's now we're in our second month, going to go into our third month in the book of John, because there is such wonderful, wonderful truths here in this book. And Jesus explains all through the book who he is. God the Father sent Jesus to this earth on purpose. It was his plan from the beginning of time to send Jesus to teach us all about the Father, who he is and what he's doing in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God sent Jesus. Aren't you, Connie? Yeah. Connie Farmer is here with me in the studio, and we're going to have Michelle call in, Michelle Cardinal, in a little while and talk with us. But just the fact that God loves us so much, Connie, that he sent his son Jesus to this earth. And I'm reminded of John 3:16, that yes. wonderful, famous verse that's right here in the book of John. Yeah. For God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten son. God's a giver. Dear one, God wants to give to you today. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with encouragement. He wants to bless you with hope. He wants to bless you with a purpose for your life. He wants to renew his presence in your life. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking we ought to just study John the rest of the year because, you know, John is the only one that really described Jesus the best.
Yes, he did.
Or described him the best.
Yes.
And if we don't have a relationship with him, and if we don't
Amen.
Know who he is.
That's right.
So if we just spend our time in John, I think we probably, by the end of the year, we ought to have it down pat.
We ought to have it down pat. Absolutely. We've been talking a lot about the I am statements in the book of John. And back in Exodus chapter 3, Connie, when Moses was going to go deliver the children of Israel out of slavery and bondage, Moses said to God, hey, if they ask me who sent me, what am I supposed to say? And God said, you're to say, I am sent you. Okay. But how interesting, back in the Old Testament, he didn't go on and finish that who he was. He just called himself I am. And then we get to the book of John, which is so classic in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. And Jesus begins to finish that sentence. And he says, I am
the light.
Yes.
I am the shepherd.
Yes, I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. He says, I am the bread of life, the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. All of these things, the way, the truth, and the life, he begins mm-hmm. to really amplify on who he is. And we're going to talk today about one of those aspects of God and his nature, and it is, I am the good shepherd, and it is found in John chapter 10. And some of you like to know where we're studying so you can follow along when I start teaching in a couple minutes. And if you're acquainted with our broadcast on Living the Good Life, I like to teach for maybe just 10 minutes and then bring my guests on, and we like to talk about that teaching and how it applies to our life on a daily basis, because the Word of God definitely applies to you today, right where you are. And so often people go to church, or they turn on TV and they hear a sermon and they wonder, how does that apply to me? And what God is trying to tell us over and over again through the Word is that it does apply to us, and it does impact our lives on a daily basis. And so today, as we study the Good Shepherd, we're going to find out that it does apply to us on an individual basis. And Connie's playing some great music today. We were talking about it and talking about some of the different songs. And we love to plan our songs in advance. Of course, we don't plan what we're going to say. We plan the theme of what we're going to teach and talk about. But we don't have a script. We are live every Sunday, and that's a great thing. We are in beautiful Clearwater today. Is it gorgeous, Connie, today? Beautiful. The water, the sun on the water, and everything. And some of those that are up in cold weather today can...
We're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry. They can, yeah. And we are so blessed to have our dear friends in Indiana that listen to the broadcast, and people scattered around the globe. And to Joan, who's been very ill and doing better now, we continue to pray for her today. And
it'll be warm there soon.
It'll be warm there soon.
For a little bit.
Yeah, it's spring. Sometime mm-hmm. is coming, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Praise God. So it's a good day. We've had a great weekend. We had a big garage sale at Beacon of Hope yesterday, and I hate garage sales, but I got to tell you, this one was fun.
Yeah.
It was great.
A lot of excitement this weekend.
A lot of excitement. A lot of people. And
somebody decided to drive through the church.
Tell them about that, Connie. What happened there Friday night?
Some little lady pulled up in front of the church.
Yes.
And got her sandal hooked on her brake pedal. And when she got it free, she hit the accelerator mm-hmm. and went right through the front of the church.
Went right through the front of the church.
Right into the front lobby.
Yep. Knocked out the whole front of the building Friday evening. It's been an exciting weekend, hasn't it? So we've been boarding things up and picking up glass and whatever, but praise God, somebody was supposed to be standing right there in the lobby working on garage sale stuff, Cheryl from our church, and she was 10 minutes late mm-hmm. and her life was saved Friday night, because this was bad, bad, bad. There's structural damage to the building. And anyway, so it's been a kind of an eventful weekend with a garage sale and a drive-through. So now we call ourselves the Church of the Open Air. So anyway, but it's been a fun weekend. We're glad you have joined us today. Please stay tuned. Listen to this message from Michelle from Beacon of Hope, and then you're going to hear a great song entitled Shepherd to prepare you for the teaching on I Am the Good Shepherd that Jesus said. It's a Todd Agnew song. You're going to love it. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you looking for a group of people who care enough about you to pray for you and welcome you with the love of God? Beacon of Hope Ministries is a place where all are welcome regardless of age, color, race, ethnic background, sexual orientation, marital status, struggles with addiction, or mental or physical handicaps. All are welcome, all are loved and accepted. We encourage you to join us this Wednesday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 11 o'clock to worship God and study His Word. You will feel God's presence and His love for you. We are located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin. Please visit our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com for directions and details concerning the ministry of Beacon of Hope.
Praise God. That's a great song. That's really different. You're listening to Living the Good Life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries, coming to you live every Sunday at this time. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're studying in the book of John right now. We're in John chapter 10, and where Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, that his sheep hear his voice. And this song was talking about that, about sheep that are weary and sheep that need to hear the voice of God. Dear one, if you are a born-again Christian today, sitting out there listening to us someplace in the world, around the globe, you are one of the sheep of God. And if you know him and you have at some point in your life given your life to God, then you are a sheep in his pasture. And I want to look at John chapter 10 this morning because it talks, or this afternoon, I'm sorry, it talks about the shepherd that walks right up to the gate of the sheep. And it says, as it begins John chapter 10, that the sheep rustler, or the one who is not a true shepherd of the sheep, tries to climb in and steal the sheep. They try to climb in over the top of the gate or something, but the true shepherd walks right up to the gate, opens it up, and walks in with the sheep. And Jesus is saying that he himself is the good shepherd. And he says here in John chapter 10, the shepherd walks right up to the gate. I'm reading from the Message Bible. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. Now, I propose to you today that when you hear from God and you are one of God's sheep, you know when it's God talking to you. Now, sometimes God talks to us through circumstances. We may put out a prayer and say, God, I don't know which way to go, but show me. And maybe some events line up in your life and you go, that must be God. And God will always confirm it, by the way, dear ones. And he will not ask you to go out on some limb of faith without confirming to you, usually more than once, what his will is for you. And there is that inner knowing down on the inside of you where you begin to just know that God is talking to you. And because the sheep hear and know the voice of the shepherd. And we go on here in John 10, and he says, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. God knows your name. He created you. You were known to him in your mother's womb. It says in Psalm 139, and you may want to look that up later, that he knows us when we are in our mother's womb, that he creates us, and that he knows everything about us. He even knows what your name is going to be. And we are so glad that God knows us by name. It says back in Isaiah chapter 43 that he calls us by name and we are his. And so, you know, he calls us. He knows our name. And so it says here in John chapter 10, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. He leads us. He directs our paths. Clear back in 1959, now this is a real long time ago. Actually, I think it started in 1958. And I was just a little girl. My dad and my mom began to feel the leading and calling of God on their lives to go to the mission field, to give up the church they were pastoring in Indiana and take my two younger sisters and I, all of us, and move to Central America to be missionaries, which they did do in 1959. My dad and my mom had parents, of course, and sisters and brothers and all of this family that said, well, this isn't God. You can't go and you can't leave us. You can't go to another country, and you certainly can't take three little tiny girls there to an unknown place. And they argued with my parents. And for months, my parents sought the will of God. And finally, they said, no, this is what we're to do. God has called us to the mission field, and we're not leaving our children behind. We're taking them. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, in my formative years, to spend them there on the mission field. And I praise God that he spoke to my dad and to my mom, and that they listened to the voice of God because they were his sheep and the shepherd spoke to them, and it absolutely changed my life. I wouldn't be sitting in this chair at the radio station right now, I believe, and teaching the word if it had not been for the obedience of my parents clear back in 1958 that heard the voice of God speaking to them and calling them. And dear one, God speaks to us today, and he speaks to you. And he calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out, and they follow him because they're familiar with his voice. They don't follow a stranger's voice, but they follow the voice of the shepherd. If you have your Bible with you, and if you don't, you're going to be familiar with this passage. I want to go back to Psalm 23, because I was teaching from this morning at Beacon of Hope, and it's an incredible teaching about the life, a year in the life of a sheep. And we're talking about an actual animal here. And all through the Word of God, God continues to refer to us as the sheep of his pasture and him as the shepherd. And if you remember, Moses had a time during his life, actually 40 years. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he was in the king's court in Egypt, and he was the princess's son, actually adopted son, not her natural birth son. And so he was in royalty and lived in the palace. Then, this next 40 years of the life of Moses was spent in the wilderness because Moses had committed a murder, actually. And he ran from justice, and he ran out into the wilderness. And for the next 40 years of Moses' life, he actually was a shepherd. How interesting. And he had literal sheep, animals, that he corralled around the desert. Then, after that 40-year stint, when Moses was 80 years old, God said to him, I want you to lead my children, my people, out of Egypt. I want you to take them to the promised land. And that's when Moses said, well, if they ask me who's telling me to do this, who do I say? And God said, tell them I am sent you. Okay? And this is when God first calls himself, I am. And then for the next 40 years of Moses' life, he actually leads people instead of animals. How interesting. Now, we also see later on that David was a little shepherd boy. And David was sitting for, who knows, years perhaps, on the hillside tending his father Jesse's sheep. And David learned to draw close to God and worship God by tending the literal animals of his father Jesse. And he's out there on the hillside. And this is when David wrote so many of the Psalms, sitting there under the starry skies by himself, a shepherd of animals, of sheep. And this one of the Psalms that David wrote is one of our favorites in the whole Bible. I use this a lot for funerals, and I know a lot of you are familiar with this. It is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I shall lack nothing. God is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. This is all Psalm 23, and a lot of you are familiar with this. But I want to talk for a minute about the life of a literal animal, a sheep, and what happens to them. They live for a part of their year at the ranch, but the food begins to dwindle. There's not a lot of grass, and so the shepherd leaves that ranch area and begins to lead them out. You see, when they're at the ranch, things are pretty calm and safe, and they know right where their food is. It's just right there in this little enclosed area. This is similar to us. When we first get saved and we begin to know God, we may be in a church that teaches us a lot. Maybe we're not really in the Word that much ourselves, but we are out there. We're getting fed all the time. And then God begins to deal with us, and he leads us into different places. And he begins to say, I want you to go deeper with me. I want you to get to know me better. I want to take you to green pastures. I want to take you to still water where you can have your soul restored. And so then the shepherd literally takes the sheep on a journey for several months out of the year. And they go first into the valleys where it is pretty easy. They don't have to climb very much. They just kind of walk around and they graze. And he takes them over by some water. And this is symbolic of our Christian life where, you know, we're beginning to venture out and beginning to read the Word of God more. We're beginning to trust God. And God takes us to some pools of water in his Word, if you will. And we begin to study the Word, and we get a fresh drink of water. And then in the life of a sheep, you have times where some of those sheep get a little rebellious, and they kind of get over to the side of the cliff, and they may get over there and begin to look down, and they think, well, maybe I'll just jump off here. Well, you know that old story about lemmings and how one lemming will go to the edge of the cliff, and then all the rest of them will follow him. And sheep kind of get over there against the edge, and this is when the shepherd literally uses his two tools. He has a rod and a staff. Do you remember this from Psalm 23? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is for discipline, and the crook or the staff represents the Spirit of God. And the shepherd goes over with his big staff, and he pulls that sheep around the neck and pulls him away from the danger and gets him back with all the other sheep. And the staff is symbolic of the Spirit of God in our lives. The rod is symbolic of the Word of God, where we begin to study the Word, and we find where God says, wait a minute, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. And we begin to realize that our life must conform and become godly. We decide that we want to be like God. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be full of love and peace and joy. And we allow the Word of God to discipline us, which is a cool thing. And then sometimes we get off on our own and we get over to the edge of the cliff and we almost fall off and we get in with the crowd, the bad sheep over there, and we just want to jump off and do our own thing. And then the Spirit of God comes and pulls us back closer to Himself. Sometimes He does that through people. Sometimes people encourage us. No, come on. Come on, let me pray with you. Let me help you through this crisis. Don't give up. Don't go jump off the bridge, so to speak. Or literally, don't go commit suicide. Or don't go get yourself all depressed and discouraged. Instead, let me encourage you with some word from God. And so God kind of corrals us back. Sometimes He uses people to do that. Okay? And we begin to get right back where we belong in the sheepfold. Now, we find in the life of a sheep that they begin to climb. They climb a little bit because the shepherd knows they need exercise and they need to climb and they need to get up to some better elevations where there's more moisture, where the water comes down, and he can feed his sheep not only great grass and grazing places, but he can exercise his sheep and he can also bring them beside still water and he can give them pools of living water, and the Word of God is always referred to as living water. So the shepherd begins to take them a little higher. And I don't know about you, but in my life, in all the years that I've served the Lord, I have found that there are stages in my life where God wants me to get out of the comfort of the ranch, and He wants me to get up there and go towards those higher places in Him, where He leads me up there to a different pasture, where He prompts me to study the Word more, where He encourages me to dig a little deeper into God's Word and to learn. Now, we as sheep don't like to do that a lot of times. We're lazy. We go, oh, no, I'll just stay back here. But you see, God is a God that continues to challenge us and to prod us and to encourage us to go deeper with Him. And so we find that the sheep can't stay back there because the shepherd is there. He's the good shepherd. That's Jesus. And He's saying, oh, no, no, you're not staying behind. Let me push you on ahead, because if you just go on ahead in God, you're going to find some beautiful green pasture, and you're going to find some fresh anointing and teaching, and you're going to learn more about the Spirit of God. You need to move forward, little one. And so God brings people into our lives that encourage us to study the Word and encourage us to find that comfort and peace in those higher elevations in God. And so we find that we grow and we climb and we get stronger. And I love Psalm 23, where it says, sometimes we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes the valley we're in just seems like it's going to cave in on us, and we feel like we're going to die from all the circumstances and the chaos around us. And we go on to see that the psalmist David says in the Message Bible says, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. And the shepherd does that very thing. And the good shepherd, Jesus, does that in our lives. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He is always there. He walks beside us, hand in hand with us. Some of you out there listening to my voice today are saying, wait a minute, I feel so far away from God. You know what God is saying to you? Come on, put your hand in mine and let's go a little deeper. Let's go a little higher into the things of God. Don't be afraid of the depths of God's Word. Don't be afraid to draw close to God, because He loves you so much. He loves you so much that He wants to draw you to Him. And so the psalmist David says, yea, though I walk through, notice the word through, I'm not going to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to hang out in discouragement, defeat, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, sickness, disease. I'm not going to hang out there. I'm going to walk through that passage in my life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We get to a place in our Christian walk where we learn to not be afraid, because God is with us. God is with us. We're going to talk more about this in a little while. This is exciting stuff, and I'm glad about this. This is a good teaching. You all hang with us. We got some exciting things we're going to talk about today with Michelle and Connie. Let's get a commercial break. Listening to Living the Good Life. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
Do you wish you understood more of the Bible? The middle of the week is a great time to gather with us at Beacon of Hope and study God's Word. We gather around tables in our sanctuary with our Bibles and notebooks and enter into lively discussion as we study the principle of God's Word together. We call this time conference because our Bible brings us direction and purpose. I'm Jeannie from the Beacon of Hope, and I welcome you to join us this Wednesday night at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin at 7 p.m. for a great time of teaching and sharing. You'll be glad you took the time. We finish up at 8:30, so we hope to see you this Wednesday evening.
Praise God. All right. Thank you, Jeannie. And Jeannie's very sick today, so we just extend God's healing touch into your life today, Jeannie. We know you're listening, and we just pray that healing power of God into your body right now. Connie, I love this teaching on the sheep, you know, and I haven't even gotten into some of the other stuff that happens to the sheep's heads.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about in a minute. Yeah.
That was phenomenal this morning.
But we're talking here about the importance of listening and following the direction of the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. How important is that? I mean, people out there listening today, there might be a mixture of people in our audience that don't talk to God very much. And did you ever have a time in your life, Connie, when you were that way?
Yeah.
Speak it up. Say it again. She said, yeah, yes. Real quietly. Yes.
Yeah, various times.
Right.
Kind of drift. I drifted. But I still had that core.
Right.
And I always knew that he was with me. I just wanted to do my own thing.
Wanted to
be in control. And
you're
the
only one in this whole listening audience today that's ever wanted to do their own thing, right?
Well, I still kind of sometimes want to do it, but it doesn't. I've learned now that as I start to get over to the edge.
Yes, of the cliff?
Yes.
Yes.
That it's not where I want to be.
Right. And why do you know that now? I mean, what has changed in your life to cause you to realize that?
Well, because it's a feeling that I have, and it doesn't feel good to know, because I feel like I'm out on my own, mm-hmm. and I don't like that.
Right.
I don't want to be out on my own. I want to be with him.
Right. Because when we're out there on our own and we're near the edge of the cliff, like these sheep that tend to do that, this is absolute in the life of a sheep. This is what they do. They tend mm-hmm. to explore and they tend to get over. My kids were very adventuresome. I had 3 kids in 4 years a long time ago, and now they're all grown. But there was a time when they were so adventuresome and they were doing all kinds of crazy things as kids, you know, and risky things, dangerous mm-hmm. things. You know, my oldest son, Ryan, was one of these. He thought he was Tarzan for a long time when he was a little kid, and he loved to go in our woods behind our house in Indiana and find these vines, and he would test them. And there was one particular day where he was swinging from one, you know, tree to another, and there was all these neighbor kids, down there admiring, you know, this mm-hmm. wonderful feat
Tarzan.
That he could do, Tarzan, mm-hmm. and he fell. And I mean, we had to get him to the emergency room and all this, and fortunately, he was okay. But my kids were those kinds of kids that tried to get out there and be like these sheep over there at the edge.
We were too.
You were too?
Yeah. We had a woods behind our house.
Well, you grew up in Ohio. See, you know, it's those Midwestern.
It's a swing from those vines.
Swing from the vines. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, don't people do this, Connie?
Sure.
I've done this.
Yeah.
We all have. Where we all tested the waters to see, you know, okay, yeah, I know this God stuff is great and he loves me and all that, but, you know, I think I just kind of like to be over here by my own.
Or let's just see how much he loves me.
I think we've all done that too. Is he going to come rescue me when I'm over here doing my own thing, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And I love that about the teaching of the sheep, because God does that. He goes with his big shepherd's crook and he pulls us in. And there's some ways he does that. How does he do that? Do you want to talk about any of that,
circumstances,
Connie?
Circumstances, situations.
That's the very word I was looking for, circumstances. Circumstances happen, and what happens? We get our back up against the wall. Of course, nobody in our listening audience has ever had their back up against the wall.
Mm. Sorry.
No, actually, I think they have.
Yeah. circumstances put you in a situation where you have no way out except for to call on him.
Right. Exactly. And he loves that, I think, you know.
He likes to be the Savior.
He's the Savior, right? And he loves to come in and say, wait a minute, come here, and talk to us. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, what do you mean God talks to you? I've had people ask me for years, do you really think, Pastor, that God talks to you? Absolutely, he talks to me. Now, it's not always like, a voice. It's not like that. A lot of times it's a inner knowing, you know, that I know, wait a minute.
A little conviction.
Little
stick there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday. I don't even remember who it was. And I was ministering to them. And they were saying something about, how am I going to know what God is really saying? And I said, you can take this to the bank, that God talks to us by our peace. The peace of God within us.
Definitely.
You know? And there are so many times that we get caught up in the craziness of the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And when you don't have that peace, sometimes I think it takes a while for people to understand what the peace is.
Yes.
But once you have that peace and know that you're right, you know, you're right where you're supposed to be and you're doing what you're supposed to do, then when you deviate from that, you don't have,
you know.
But, of course, you know, you can avoid the feelings and ignore them and, you know, all that. But once you have that peace,
right,
it passes all understanding.
It really does.
They got that right, for sure. It passes all understanding.
It's something that it's hard to even describe, you know. Mm-hmm. This person I was talking to yesterday said, well, how am I going to know? I said, I don't know. You're just going to know. You're going to know, because on the inside of you, you won't feel that agitation and that craziness where you're going, I don't know if I'm making the right decision. You know, that anxious. Mm-hmm. And if you can picture little sheep running to the edge of the cliff because they're rebellious and they want to look over, when they look over that, what do they see? They see rocks.
They also see the world.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, the city that's down below, or
right,
or the civilization that's down below. But along with that comes all the bad.
Exactly. Because if they go tumbling over.
Right. Those rocks hurt when you go down the side.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we are like that, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I mean, human nature is extremely rebellious. It really is. Mm-hmm. We want to do our own. You said it a few minutes ago, Connie. We want to do our own thing. Why do we do that? Why do we want to do our own thing? Well, I mean, what is it about us? Are we control freaks or what?
We just don't like people telling us what to do.
Yeah, we really don't. You know, even as little kids, I remember my kids were, my daughter was extremely this way. She still is. At age 15 months, I'd say, no, don't do that. And she'd go ahead and do it. Yeah, you know, just go right ahead, you know? And that is human nature, you know? Now, if you picture those sheep running around in this great big group, you know, we said today that sheep are called a flock, right? A flock of sheep. Okay, so they're running around, and you got a few of these stranglers over there that want to investigate and get over there and do their own thing.
Freelance,
yeah. They want to run over there, and they start looking down, and one of them kind of maybe puts his foot little over the edge, you know?
No, don't do that.
Don't do that. And what's the shepherd doing? What's the good shepherd doing over there?
He gets a hold of by the neck with the little crook and just pulls him back.
He pulls him back. I mean, he'll let us look over there. But you see, we are the sheep of his pasture. People, the sheep of his pasture. That says in Psalm 100. That's who we are. You know, once you give your heart to Jesus, you belong to God. You're not yourself. You're not just your own Lord and Master anymore. And I think that as a kid, I didn't understand that. I don't know about you, Connie, but I think that I really wasn't that in touch with the fact that when I got saved and asked Jesus to come into my heart, that I really gave up control of my life. It has taken me a while to get that concept through the years.
Yeah, I don't think I got that either. I felt like I remember knowing that he was there,
right,
and that he was he was my savior. So
right.
that meant that if I needed him, he was going to be there and I could call on him for anything. And, but you know, that whole relationship thing, I didn't get that.
Didn't get it.
I didn't get it then.
Right. I think a lot of us don't. Mm-mm. We just don't. We don't realize that he doesn't want to just be our savior. He wants to be our Lord.
I think it depends on what kind of teaching you sit under.
True. True.
I think that's a lot of it.
Because it's so, your Christian life is so much more than just getting saved. And a lot of people just get saved and they get what I call fire insurance.
Yep.
And they are so afraid they're going to go to hell if they die. So, mm-hmm. okay, all right, I'll get saved, you know. But they don't go any further than that. And that's mm-hmm. like staying at the ranch where the sheep are concerned. Mm-hmm. Just staying there. But here's what happens at the ranch. The food runs out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. the other sheep have moved on. They've gone up to green pastures and to find still waters and to find comfort and to get exercise. And the sheep that decide to stay back at the ranch, they don't grow. You know, they don't get stronger.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And a lot of people, that's what happens. You know, it's just fire insurance. It's not a way of life. It's not Jesus as the Lord of my life. God, I trust you. I give you myself, you know. And when those sheep, those physical animals, when they go out on the road, quote unquote, with the good shepherd, they're out there and they allow the shepherd to lead them to the pastures. You don't find those sheep, actually, one of them coming up and going, shepherd, I got an idea today. Today, when we get up to this fork in the road, I like to turn right here instead of go straight with the rest of you guys. I want to go do my own thing. And the shepherd's going, no. You're my sheep, you know? Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, you guys are mine. You gave your life to me. It's more than just fire insurance.
He takes his job seriously.
Woo! Does he ever?
Yeah.
Does he ever?
Yeah.
And shepherds, pastors are shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
I take my job very seriously as mm-hmm. pastor, and there's times I've had to correct sheep. And my experience through the years, though, of 20-some years of pastoring, Connie, is that most sheep don't take correction.
No, they leave.
And they leave.
Yeah.
And they leave mad, and they leave, like, how dare you tell me, and whatever. Mm-hmm. But the role of the pastor-shepherd in the church today is one of leading, feeding, modeling, and doing their best to correct when correction is needed, mm-hmm. which is what the shepherd actually does. Kind of cool teaching, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is exciting stuff, and we've only just begun. A few minutes ago, we quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And guys, it's so much more about than just about going to heaven. It's about a way of life. It's about accepting Jesus into your heart, but not just as your savior, but as your Lord, and letting him teach you and lead you. We're going to play a song here, and then we're going to come back and hang with us here on Living the Good Life. The song is God So Loved the World. Stay with us.
Letting go and reaching out and trust. But I know
Praise God, everlasting life. Aren't you glad we have that? All we have to do is believe in Him and we will receive everlasting life. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you every week at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister. Today we're talking about the Good Shepherd being Jesus. And we've been studying in the book of John where Jesus calls Himself different things. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And today we're talking about John chapter 10 where He says, I am the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear My voice. I call them by name. They hear Me. And we've also been talking about Psalm 23 today. And if you have your Bibles, a lot of you are familiar with that passage where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I should not lack anything. He takes me. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me by quiet pastures. He restores my soul. And that's what we're talking about today. And we were talking about a year in the life of a physical sheep and a shepherd. And if you just tuned in, I can't catch up with you, everything you just missed. So let me just take off from where we are right now. We've been talking about how a sheep will get into that great big flock of sheep, and the shepherd physically leads them out of the safe ranch, and he takes them out, and he begins to lead them to green pastures and still waters. He begins to lead them up inclines because there is better grass higher. He begins to take them up where there's more water to enjoy, and they can get nourished, and they can exercise their bodies as they begin to climb and get into better weather where it's a little cooler and not so hot down on the ranch. And the shepherd physically leads them. Now, God, the shepherd, the great shepherd of our souls, does the same thing with us spiritually, because if we just stay in the very same place when we receive Jesus into our hearts, it becomes stagnant. We don't grow. We don't exercise. We don't get into the Word. We don't get into fresh food. And we don't get into the cool water of His presence. And so God leads us out and from that little stagnant place, and He begins to teach us His Word and begin to teach us His concepts and begins to teach us about how much He loves us, so much that He leads us to a better place in Him, in our spiritual lives. That's what God does. Now, we were talking about how the little rebellious sheep, which are all of us in one time or another in our lives, get over to the edge of the cliff, and we almost fall over and want to explore and do our own thing. But the Good Shepherd takes that crook, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the shepherd takes that crook and he puts it around the neck of the sheep and he pulls them back into safety. And so often God has to do that with us. He has to take a hold of us and pull us back into that place where we are safe in His arms. And the other thing that happens, and I want to get into this right now, because in John 10:10, it says that the thief, that's Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the work of the thief, Satan, in our lives. Satan always brings chaos. He begins to bring all kinds of distractions and problems and all kinds of junk into our lives. Satan is the master of chaos. God is the master of peace. The shepherd brings peace, brings still waters and great places to relax and learn His Word. But the enemy, Satan, of our souls begins to bring chaos, destruction. He begins to bring depression and anxiety and discouragement and worry and fear and all the junk that happens in our lives. That stuff comes from the enemy, Satan. And God brings peace. So here we are in a situation where the sheep are beginning to go up to higher places. And what happens in the summertime with physical sheep is that flies tend to lay eggs. Now listen to me, this is true. Flies tend to lay eggs in the noses of the sheep. And when those flies begin to hatch, they go to the brain of the sheep. And they begin to swarm around in there, and it's so gross. This is true, guys. I've read books on sheep. This is what happens. And the flies begin to swarm in the nose passage and up in the brain, and the sheep can't stand it because it's chaotic in their brain. And they hate it. They're like, ugh, they got to stop it. And so what physical sheep do is they begin to bang their heads against trees and scratch their heads and get scabs. They begin to headbutt each other. They begin to be miserable. They go to, it's contagious too, by the way. This condition is contagious. And so the sheep begin to give it to somebody else because these flies, they come out of the nose of one sheep and they get into the nose of another one. And pretty soon, a bunch of the sheep have this awful disease. And it's so chaotic and crazy in their brains that they want to die. It's so bad. The shepherd sees that his sheep are in trouble. Think about it spiritually. The shepherd sees that his sheep are in trouble, and so he has to do something. And David was a literal shepherd of sheep. And so David says in Psalm 23, "You, God, anoint my head with oil." And when what this physical, literal shepherd does is he takes a mixture of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar. He makes a concoction, and he actually bathes that whole sheep in the oil. And the oil is the anointing of God's presence. And when we are out doing our own thing, and we get attacked by the enemy, Satan, and we get discouraged, defeated, and really down for the count, and we are ready to give up, the good shepherd of our souls comes along and bathes us in his presence, the anointing of God, and we begin to get well. We begin to see hope. Remember Jeremiah 29:11 that we started this show with today. God says, "I know the plans I have for you. They are plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. These plans are there to bless you." And what happens is the shepherd of literal sheep now, we're talking about animals, the shepherd sees that he's got this little group of sheep over here in trouble. They've got their heads full of flies. They are headbutting each other. They are banging their heads against trees, and they're getting scabs on the top of their heads because they've got all this chaos going on in their brain, and they don't know what to do, and they try to escape it. And in order to escape it, they are banging their heads against other sheep. People do this in churches, dear friends. They get so full of their own junk that they begin to bang their head against somebody else. They retaliate against somebody, and they get angry, and they say something unkind to somebody in church. And this is why people say churches are full of hypocrites, because see, we are all just learning to be like Jesus. We're not perfect. And people tend to do this in churches. They allow the enemy to get in there and cause all kinds of chaos in their own mind. And then they strike out at somebody else. And generally speaking, the problem is in their own brain, where the flies are running around, where the little eggs have actually hatched, and the flies have gone to the brain, and they are causing all kinds of things like chaos, discouragement, pride, rebellion, all kinds of envy, all kinds of depression, sickness, pain, and these flies are swarming in the brain of the Christian. And instead of taking authority and learning how to get fly free, they instead indulge all of that negativity, and it gets worse and worse. Now, one thing about literal sheep is that this disease, this fly disease, is contagious. And when it starts in one, it spreads. These flies go to another one. And you hear one little well-meaning soul saying, "Yeah, I don't know. I'm mad at the pastor because she didn't hug me today and she didn't talk to me." And pretty soon that goes to another one. "I don't think she cares about us at all. Or I don't think he ever listens to me. He doesn't return my calls." And rah, 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 rah. And pretty soon a case is built against someone or the pastor in the church. Now, the shepherd, the pastor, needs to be on top of this and watching for this kind of fly disease and doing something about it. And it takes a bath in the anointing of God, the oil. It takes that for literal sheep to be bathed in the very presence of God. It takes it for us that are Christian sheep to take a bath in the presence of God. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" I am talking about getting yourself into the Word of God, getting yourself into praise and worship, even if it's on a CD, you're driving down the road and you begin to praise God and you get your mind off of all the flies in your head and you begin to concentrate on the goodness of God and how much He loves you instead of all of the yucky stuff that's happening to you. You don't give into that, but instead you decide, make a decision to get well, to get rid of the flies, the chaos in your own mind. This is what God is saying. Praise God. We've got a lot to talk about here, Connie. We got a lot to talk about. Praise God. Let's listen to this commercial from Liz at Beacon, and then Michelle has just called in, and we got some things to discuss here with you, Connie and Michelle.
Would you agree that there are times in our life where we need a fresh start, a new beginning? Even a do-over. Hi, I'm Elizabeth from the Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, and I encourage you to discover the God of the fresh start. In Psalms 18:20 through 24, in the Message Bible, it says, God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before Him. When I got my act together, He gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. On Sundays at 11 and Wednesdays at 7, we gather at our facility at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin to study God's Word and worship Him together. He wants you to know that He loves you and has a plan for your life, a plan to bless and prosper you and bring you new purpose and direction. Come, discover principles that will change your life. He really is the God of the fresh start. Venga, reciba sus bendiciones en el Beacon of Hope.
Thanks, Liz. Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Connie Farmer's here in the studio with me live. And Michelle Cardinal, are you on the air?
I am, praise God.
Wow, did you hear that bit about the sheep and their brains and all that crud?
Yes, and it's easy to get caught up in all that crud because it masks the true good nature, the purity and good nature of God.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so easy when people are being negative around us, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, Michelle, but when everybody's talking an awful talk, it's hard to not succumb, isn't it?
It truly is, because it's a nonconformist. It's so much easier to get into the negativity and to agree than take a stand, a soul stand, when you feel alone. And if you don't feel strong enough to make that stand, it's tough.
It really is.
And you have to have faith. And for people to step out in faith, it takes a lot of energy. And to when the other people are talking negativity, it's easy to agree with them because you're feeling it, and it's so strong. And when somebody...
Oh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. You're going, yeah, that's right, I feel the same way, instead of, this is just a low point right now, and it's going to change.
Right, exactly. Have there been times in your life, Michelle or Connie, where you guys found that you were in that chaotic place in your mind, and you didn't like it? Does it feel good?
Oh, it feels great.
You got flies in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't feel very good, does it?
No, it feels terrible and very lonely.
Yes.
Even though there's a lot of other flies there.
Right.
It's still a very lonely, lonely place.
They're not very nice.
Yeah. No, it's an uncomfortable place. It's a place of chaos. And the devil likes to get us there and get us into pity parties and get us into, negative talk and all kinds of yuck,
And and you're absolutely right, Pastor, because it takes your focus off of what really matters. The only thing that truly matters, and that's God's love.
Amen.
The love, that's it. And if you have that belief in love, nothing else matters. And if your focus is taken off of that, that's exactly what the devil's looking for. he feels as though he's winning.
Oh, absolutely. I was noticing the other day, and I guess I was Wednesday night when I was teaching, the devil likes to accuse God to us. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
that?
Yes. That we don't deserve it.
Right.
You know, because you had ill feelings toward a coworker, or you said some ugly things to a neighbor, and then the devil attacks you saying, you know, because you're not very nice, because you're thinking these terrible thoughts, you're not worthy of God, so why don't you just come to me?
Right.
That's what the devil's saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he does. And then he comes and he says, you know, God doesn't really love you and care about you. Actually, God's pretty disappointed in you. Have you felt that way?
More than I care to admit.
Yeah. And then so what happens? I mean, you don't feel like praising God when that happens and the devil's telling you that God's really mad at you and disappointed with you and that you're really not that great of a Christian after all, you know?
But the beauty of it all is the minute you get the courage, and praise God to the Holy Spirit helping you get that courage, the minute you have the courage to start praising him,
yes,
you're completely rejuvenated.
Amen.
And so those little lulls become smaller and smaller each time because he can try to trick you, the devil.
Yes.
But it's less and less each time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know from the last time that God forgives and he loves you, and that's it. It's all about God's love.
It's all about God's love. I totally agree with you. For God so loved the world. That's it. It's all about that. And when we get ourselves, you know, down in the dumps or down in that negativity or our heads full of flies and chaos, when we stay there very long, it sometimes is even harder to come out of it. Don't you think? I mean.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'd like to comment on that. I was talking earlier about the voice, and for some reason it stuck with me. What is that? What are you talking about when Jesus said they'll know my voice?
Yes, yes.
And I'm thinking that it means something to me, and I don't know what. I couldn't quite grasp it. And I'm sitting here having a conversation with Avery and Henry, my two dogs.
Your two dogs. Well, how are those guys today?
They're fabulous.
All right.
You know what? They know my voice.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They don't know my neighbor's voice, so they'll growl, and they're suspicious.
Right.
And they back away to protect the home and me. But the minute I say, Avery, Henry, they know my voice.
Exactly.
They trust me, and they know I'm not going to hurt them. And that's how it is with Jesus.
Amen.
And us.
Yes.
The stronger our relationship is with God and Jesus.
Yes.
The more we know his voice, so the more we're attuned to it. So through all those flies buzzing around.
Right.
All the buzzing and the Satan's trying to make the buzz even louder and louder so we can't hear Jesus' voice.
Yes.
But it becomes so clear the closer we get to him that the buzzing now goes away and his voice, his guidance, brings us to him.
Oh, totally.
Cool.
It provides the light, the direction that we need in our life. So, and that's why I wanted to mention that voice thing because it's not only, you know, in the literal sense. It's in the belief.
Yes.
And, you know if you're doing a right thing or the wrong thing by that voice.
You sure do. And it's that peace, Michelle, don't you think? And Connie, it's that peace that comes when you know God's speaking to you and when you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like those sheep, when they get off the beaten path and they get over on another path, they know when they're wrong. I mean, I'm like my two little dogs, Michelle. It's like your guys. When Bailey and Zoe are misbehaving, you know, and they're out in the yard and they're running and chasing some squirrel and they're causing all kinds of chaos and barking up a storm, you know, and they sound so ferocious. You know they're not doing right. I just have to yell the word, hey. And it's when I yell it in a certain way, you know, all of a sudden they turn around. They don't always obey very quickly, but, you know, I'm sorry to say, but they know my voice just like your dogs do yours. I love that point.
And what you just said, sometimes we don't turn around immediately either.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Because, you know, it's that whole fight in it.
That's right.
No. I know, but we don't.
Just let me look over the edge a little bit.
Yeah.
That?
Just let me peek over the edge a little bit.
Exactly. And that's exactly what Henry's doing right now with the squirrel. He's like, I'm going to get it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm looking at him, pulling my finger, get over here.
Right.
And he knows he doesn't want to. Because
right.
Oh, he knows it's
so much
right.
fun.
But he eventually comes because he does know what the right thing is to do. And praise God once again for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sending the Holy Spirit to help us. Help
yes.
guide us to that.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes. And there is that lure of the world, you know, and the rebellion and doing mm-hmm. my own thing. And I'm just going to try this. I'm just going to, you know, stay out of the Word of God. Notice, listening audience, I'm not even talking about going to church. I believe you need to be and hear the Word of God. But, you know, often we get hung up on it. Going to church, and I believe there's a lot of people that sit in churches that don't even hear the word. They just sit there, and they feel good about themselves because they went to church, and you say, well, what was that service about? They don't have the foggiest idea what it was about. And so, I mean, yes, I'm a firm believer that going to church, and we welcome people to Beacon of Hope, but it's really about a relationship, mm-hmm. isn't
Daily.
It?
It really is. And
with
what
God.
A great word that you use, Pastor, is the lures.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People are lured to... You know, the undesirable things of God's undesirable things, you know, to the devil. And, you know, if you can't think of going to church as a job because it's a way of life.
Yes.
The word is. And whether you get the word in church, which is the best way I get it.
Right.
Because it's communicated so clearly. And with a bunch of us getting involved in it. But reading it when you get home, and just before I came on the radio, I'm reading the scripture again, and I that's when I got the voice, you know. It's and mm-hmm. it makes more clear, brings it more clarity to the whole.
It does.
Guidance and the whole shepherd.
But if you had not sat down at all today, Michelle, and read, or Connie, if you hadn't been in church this morning, Michelle was in another place this morning, but. The airport, but still, if you don't take the time, okay, to sit down or listen or whatever, it's so easy to get totally distracted off some other place, isn't it? I mean,
mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
And the devil loves that. He loves to distract us and get us off our game, so to speak. You know.
You know, the other thing is that you know, we were talking about standing on the edge.
Yeah.
You can kind of equate that to. If you miss a church service Wednesday night or a Sunday service, and then it's so much easier to just stay home the next service.
Oh, it is.
So
yeah.
It's kind of like testing it. You know, you're right out there on the edge.
Yeah, I don't have to do it this time.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
But you start getting in the rhythm of it.
Right.
Church and the Word. And yeah. The minute you do peek over the edge, you get scared.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Again. Which is in a good way, because you don't want to lose that peaceful, easy feeling.
Right.
To steal from the Eagles, I think, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
It really is. It's a peaceful, easy feeling when you're going through all these trials and tribulations of the world, and you're so into it. The minute you start peeking over the edge, you get a little spooked. You don't want to. You don't want to take that step away from God, because it's a true security blanket.
Oh, mm-hmm. Totally. I was talking this morning about anxiety and what anxiety does. And I think it's one of those flies in our heads. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I don't know about y'all, but being the age I am, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I feel that anxiety coming on, some kind of an attack of whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people call that menopause. I don't know what to call that. Anyway, don't you laugh. You're so young lady. Anyway, you know, and where that anxiety tries to come, and what the devil does then is try to get you into anxious thoughts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a place in Psalms, and I can't remember it exactly where, but David says when, he doesn't say if. I love this about David, because he's so true to being human. And he says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, I begin to praise you, because I know that's my answer. And I paraphrase that, but that's what David says. When my anxious thoughts begin to multiply within me, because they do. It's like the flies in the brain. They begin to multiply, and they're contagious. Do you have a comment to that, Michelle?
Well, that's exactly true, but... And I I keep putting the positive spin because I've been there with, oh my God, infestations of flies in my mind.
Infestation.
Really, it really.
Meet Michelle, the one who has been infested with flies in her mind. Yeah.
Right, and praise God, I have that little light.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Bursts.
Yes.
Through, and it's Jesus reminding me to listen to His voice.
Yes.
I am your shepherd.
Yes.
Just listen, and I'm going to guide you. And that's it. You just have to stop for a nanosecond and listen. And He brings it all. They disappear. It's like He just sprayed Raid. And all those flies die, you know? And when you were talking about that, I was looking at the what you were saying about how positive David is, and says on Psalm 25, my Bible was just open to this because of Psalm 23.
Yeah.
It says, I lift up my soul.
Yes.
You I trust.
Amen.
Oh, my God, do not let me be put to shame.
Amen.
Never, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Amen.
I mean, it's just.
Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2. That is excellent. Thank you for bringing that up. That is so good. Connie, you had a comment to that.
Well, I was just going to say, once you have that peace and you experience it, it's so easy to not want to lose that.
Yes.
You know, and even though the world calls you and all different kinds of things try to lure you away, and you may go.
Right.
You may go over to the edge. You may go down.
May go down the slope a little bit. Yeah.
But. You know, if you value your peace,
amen,
and you make that conscious choice to keep peace in your life,
yes,
then you know it's not as easy to just fall off the edge anymore.
Exactly right. Wow, Michelle, if you can hang on with us a minute, we'll give you a chance for some final words. And if you need to go, that's okay. I want you all to hear a song I've been playing in my truck all week long, "River of My Life." Listen to Debbie.
Comforter, secret hiding place, hold.
Praise God. What a great song. Michelle, are you still with us?
I am still here.
Yay. Wasn't that a great song?
That is a fabulous song.
I've played it 45 times this week, I think, in my truck.
I need to get that. You need to burn it for me then.
All right.
I love it.
Perfect. Connie found that one for me. Connie, do you have some final thoughts? And then, Michelle, I'm going to come to you with some ideas and tell us what you're thinking and what sum it up for our people today that are listening to Living the Good Life.
Well, I really like the teaching, and you know how you just bring things out that, you know, I never would have thought of or never would have understood until sitting under your teaching. And, you know, and equating the flies to all the crap and the junk that we have in our heads and the stuff that goes on. And, you know, it's just, it makes a visual,
good.
Which you're good at.
Amen. Amen. Where are you coming from, Michelle Cardinal?
It's that sheep, you know, and our shepherd.
Right.
And, you know, the shepherd goes and finds the sheep, too, that have strayed. I've known so many friends in my life, past and current friends, who feel as though they've separated from the herd.
Right.
And they're like, well, I've separated, so there's no chance. And the beauty, the glory,
yes,
and the love of God makes that it's okay. Just come back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you
yes.
know, just listen for the voice. All you have to do is listen and follow it.
Yes.
And you're going to be right back in their herd.
Yep.
And it's beautiful. It gives me goosebumps just thinking of that.
Amen.
Because some sheep just you know, linger a little longer at that shrub, and then
yeah.
they get lost. And some go way out because they saw a shrub with redder berries. But if they truly listen and want to be back with the herd and follow the shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, all they have to do is listen for a second.
Amen. There are some people that may be listening today, Michelle, that feel very far and separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I agree with what you just said. And God just says, talk to me, you know?
He's
just
right
talk to
there.
Me.
He's not
Nobody,
the one that left.
Nothing else is right there.
Exactly.
Immediate. All this instant gratification in this world right now. And the best thing that some people don't know about is that all you have to do is say, are you there, God?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Talking to him. Communicating with him. And it doesn't have to be any fancy prayer, does it?
Mm-mm. It just says, God, how you doing?
Yeah. Talk to him.
How you doing?
Low. I got some flies. I need a little spray. Raid. You got any?
Well, you know, he wants to give us a bath in his anointing, you know, and that's what
Amen.
Music, anointed music, does for us.
Amen.
It's like taking a bath in the presence of God, you know.
God, it, yes.
It just changes us. And
it does.
Michelle, I'm so proud of you because God is doing a wonderful thing in mm-hmm. your life, and you are seeking God with all your heart. And there are some people out there listening that may want to know that 2 weeks from today, Michelle, you will be the one sharing the word at Beacon of Hope on Sunday morning at 11.
That's right.
To the glory of God. Thank you.
Yes, you're going to be the one, and Connie's going to be there cheering you on.
Oh, hey.
And I'm going to be in... No, Connie, you're going to be with
yeah.
me. I'm sorry. There'll be others cheering you on, Michelle. Connie's going with me to Pensacola. We're taking the ministry on the road. We begin that Sunday going to Pensacola, Florida, and ministering in a large church up there, taking my two books, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace and Living Large and Loving It, and ministering to that congregation Sunday, 2 weeks from today, which is April 13th. And Michelle Cardinal will be ministering at Beacon of Hope
Yay.
That day. So
Hallelujah.
That's
All
pretty cool. That's pretty
All three
cool.
Of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do either of you have something you'd like to say to our audience before we kind of wrap up today? I mean, a final thing that you say you really want them to hear. If they don't hear anything else, you want them to hear this. Do either of you have something like that on your heart?
Yes. I know a lot of people feel the way I have felt. It only takes a nanosecond to stop and listen.
Amen.
And you've heard the Lord. And thank Him.
Yes.
Thank Him for making you listen. And that's all it takes. That's it. It's not rocket science. That's
right.
it. And that's the beauty and the glory of the Lord.
Amen. And He will just respond to your voice.
He will.
And
he loves the sound of our voice.
He loves the sound of our voice, and He knows our name. Connie, do you have something? All right. It's been great. You know, Michelle, we've got a new ending song we've been using for the last few weeks, and we absolutely love it. It's called It's Not Far to Jesus. And I love this song because there are those out there today that do feel far away from God and do feel separated by their own junk and their own flies. And we, Connie, Michelle, and I are saying to you today, it's not far to Jesus, baby. You need to just start talking to him. You need to run to him, and you need to jump into his lap and let him love you, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and that includes you and me, whosoever that believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have been listening to Living the Good Life today with Michelle Cardinal, Connie Farmer, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, coming to you every Sunday live from Beacon of Hope Ministries and the radio station here in Clearwater, Florida. Join us again next week for Living the Good Life. Have a great week. Get on our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com, to find out more about the ministry, to order my books and Nathan's CD and all of that. You can find us, more information. It's not far to Jesus.
Praise God.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no it's not far from me.